Hi, welcome to Robot Wonk. I'm Matthew Owen.
And I'm Eric Kurt.
This week we discuss the implications of the Abrego Garcia case, some wild bills in Congress, and the aesthetics of authoritarianism. So, good evening. My name is Eric Kurt.
And I'm Matthew Owen, and welcome to this week's Redwood Wonk.
You can watch us on Access Humboldt, Channel 12, or KZZH at 96.7 FM.
This week, we're going to be discussing the interesting things going on with Abrego Garcia. He's the United States person who had a green card who was shipped to El Salvador with no due process.
Yeah, I don't know if he actually had a green card, but he had a legal right to be here. He had an adjudication. He was accused of being in the gang. I forget. It's a letters and numbers, but
MS-13.
You know, based on a double hearsay paper that was generated by a police officer who was later suspended for misconduct in another case, and a witness that other police officers said they didn't believe. And so it was basically, I think a judge ruled on it that he was probably a gang member, but then it wasn't proven in court. He has not been convicted as a gang member, and he was wearing a Chicago Bulls hat, and apparently some of the gang members wear Chicago Bulls hat, and that's basically...
So do a lot of people in Chicago.
Well, yeah.
That doesn't make them gang members.
Based on this, and he did enter the country illegally, but the courts did find that there were exigent circumstances, and he was applying and was in process for further hearings. He had a wife and a child here, and ended up being arrested, and then sent to El Salvador along with all the rest. I think that the Trump administration is sorry that they did this, because a lot of the people sent, as much as we can complain about the due process of it, they aren't as sympathetic as this gentleman. We're starting to see photographs of him with his children and his wife, and he is a more sympathetic figure, which is why the courts were giving him some leeway, even though he had entered the country illegally. He was trying to escape from gangs, apparently. At least that's what he's alleged. He was originally from El Salvador. You know, at least they deported him to El Salvador, unlike some of the other people who weren't even from El Salvador. But anyway, it's he is now basically there against the order of the Supreme Court. It was kind of a wimpy order. It says, you know, maybe you kind of should have tried to get him back. There was this horrible press conference in the Oval Office. It was just a cluster F Trump doesn't understand the law, so he turns to Pam Bondi, his defense attorney, who lost the case for him in New York, you know, ended up with 34 felonies with that kind of record. Of course, he's going to make her the highest attorney of the land. So she basically lies to the media and says, oh, yes, he was a gang member. It was established by the courts. It has not been established by the courts. And basically lectures the media like they don't know what they're talking about. And unfortunately, you know, this is what they say. This is reminiscent of like Giuliani in 2020 when they're arguing the cases where they say these wild things in press conferences, and then in the courtroom, when they get to the courtroom, the judge says, well, in your press conference you said blah blah blah, and they just give the judge a blank stare. She says things that she wouldn't dare say because she could get thrown in jail for contempt. We'll talk about contempt more later.
I did want to bring up the Saturday Night Live skit they did with Giuliani and the crazy blonde woman who had her 15 minutes of fame. Mm-hmm. Flame's probably a better word. And the SNL skit, she says, but Your Honor, we have affidavits. And she kept saying the word after David, not affidavit, but after.
Yeah, right.
And just the audience is just laughing, going, how stupid are these people? So, another thing I'll mention is just because you say it on Fox News, that has no relation to facts or truth. There's zero pushback from the Fox News people. They can lie all day on Fox News, and it's now an acceptable form of media in the Trump world. Just lie. I mean, no one's going to push back on it, so lie.
Right. I mean, that's, you know, that's how they got that nearly $800 million judgment against him. Sean Hannity in an email admitted, yeah, we're putting a liar on there. You know, I mean, it's just that that's what they do. And then the defense is, well, we're entertainment, not news. Right. I mean, it's just but that literally was their defense.
The big thing I want to talk about here is not the fact they took a illegal immigrant off and didn't give him due process, is the fact that Trump wants to now do this with American citizens. And if that doesn't send a chill down your spine, I don't know what does, where Trump alone can pick out you and say, I don't like you. You said something bad about me on a Facebook post. Come knock on his door at 4 a.m. and send him to El Salvador. If that happens here, we are no longer a democracy. We are now a third world banana republic.
Well, see, and he's already doing something like that. Right now, he in a Truth Social note, he was calling on FCC head to issue fines and other punishment against CBS because of two stories on 60 Minutes that he didn't like. Right. And so, you know, and you talk to MAGA people online and they say, yeah, they're good. They lied, you know, and it's like, and it's hard to explain to them, you know, they didn't lie. But even if they did lie, that's not an FCC violation. Right. It's hard, you know, you have a constitutional right to lie. If you didn't, Fox News would be, they'd all be going to jail on a daily basis. Trump would be going to jail. I mean, you know, it's just, you have a right to lie. It's not, there's nothing against it, but he doesn't like the story. And so he wants to, he is pressuring, this FCC head's boss now knows that that's what he wants. I mean, that is chilling.
And the other thing, too, is during his meeting with the El Salvador president earlier this week, Trump was caught on a hot mic saying, we want you to expand your jails down there so I can send American citizens down to you. His ultimate goal is, and this is all, keep it. Bill Maher went and visited Donald Trump and had dinner at the White House 2 weeks ago, talked about it on a show real time on HBO last week. And he got a lot of crap from the left because Bill Maher said, basically, he's an OK guy. He says, I don't think there's a crazy man living in the White House. I think there's a man who plays a crazy person living in the White House. Bill Maher's opinion is Donald Trump does this all for show. He knows he's playing a character much like he did on The Apprentice, but so now he's doing this with American people. The guy at home is a normal guy, but the guy on stage is a madman. The guy in front of the microphones, crazy man. The guy calling into Fox News, absolutely bonkers. But that's what his base wants from him. They got tired of John McCain being nice and Mitt Romney being nice. They want an angry, crazy guy. They got the perfect guy.
I mean, I don't know which is scarier, that he's crazy or that he's, you know, calculating.
He plays a crazy man.
Right? Yeah.
But the other thing, too, is my biggest fear is if he starts expanding these jails down in El Salvador and pays them to do it, which is why they're housing these people now, because we have no idea how much the United States is paying them. What happens when they expand the jails and start looking at United States prisons? Goes, oh, you're a gang member with a tattoo. Goodbye, 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 goodbye. And just sends them on planes to El Salvador. Would people from the right complain about that?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. He's charged with murder, assault, drug dealing. Get him out of this country.
See, but I do think that they are sorry that they sent this guy down. Because this early, they didn't want to have a sympathetic person be the poster boy for this. They wanted to just have bad people. They wanted, if they're going to do American citizens, you know, they're not going to send the average Joe down there. They're going to send somebody who is somebody who should be locked away forever, or somebody, you know, who's done, you know, multiple serial killer or something, or a mass shooter. Right. You know, they're going to send somebody that doesn't have sympathy, and we've got to be making arguments based on, well, a violation of due process, you know, abstract arguments. they sent this guy down there, and now at all of these town halls, you've got people demanding that he be released and demanding that their representatives put pressure on Trump to do this, and he's become an emblem of that policy. That's a problem Trump is going to have to get over. They've tried to trash him in the media, and Pam Bondi tried to pull that, but the problem is the information is out and the photos of the pictures are a problem he's got to deal with. And we are getting closer to the midterm elections.
And one more thing, Eric, if it was Don Jr. or Eric Trump that got sent down to El Salvador by an administrative error, would Trump move heaven and hell to get his sons back the next day?
Oh yeah, right.
So that's the bar he has to cross, is if these were your children down there, would they be home already? And why is this guy not home?
Yeah, and I mean, he could easily get him home. He could just stop writing checks,
right,
until he's home. Period. Or end of story.
Invade El Salvador. He's threatened to invade Canada, Greenland, and Panama. Why not El Salvador?
Right. Although I don't know that they would take that threat seriously, but it's just he hasn't actually invaded anybody. He's used big bombs in Afghanistan and then left Afghanistan. But still, he doesn't have to do that. He could impose tariffs on him. I mean, he doesn't have any tariffs on El Salvador right now. You know, it's just at any rate, this guy is the president is somebody who refers to himself as a cool dictator. I mean, right. You know, he's proud of it.
He is our great leader, Eric. Isn't that what they call the North Korean Kim Jong-un, great leader?
Yeah. I know, because for people should learn the history. The reason they've got room in the prisons now is because he arrested 100,000 of his own, like arrest them all and let God sort them out. And he's admitted that they arrested something like 7,000 innocent people in that 100,000. I mean,
also they have them up to 200 people to a cell. It's not a small cell; it's a large cell. But if you took me in a high school auditorium and said, 200 people of you, 200 people have to live here.
Yeah,
that would not be pleasant.
They've shown that it's actually more crowded than the German German concentration camps of World War II. More crowded than Buchenwald. I mean,
got one thing to bring up, Eric. You mentioned tariffs. Trump's new nickname is Mr. Miyagi from Karate Kid. Tariffs on, tariffs off, tariffs on, tariffs off. Yeah. Every other day, he can't make his mind up.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of our governor, but he is filing a lawsuit that may actually have some teeth based on that. He can't file for doing tariffs, but the fact that he's on off may actually have some teeth in the law. That you can't do something that is pointless, that is disruptive to the state economy. Go ahead.
Well, one thing I want to bring up too is I think the vast majority of Americans would agree if you're an illegal immigrant and you come in here and commit violent crimes, you're going to get deported. What Trump wants to do is take illegal immigrants and put the fear of God in him that if you come here and commit crimes, we're sending you to El Salvador. We're not sending you back to Mexico.
Right.
That's kind of scary, but that's what Trump wants to do, is put the fear of God in people.
Well, I think the legal justification for sending them to El Salvador is it's mostly been Venezuelans, because Venezuela is not accepting them. And and because of that, I don't know that any Mexicans have been sent, because
we can deport world map.
What's
Venezuela is nowhere near El Salvador.
No, but it's because they're refusing them. Mexico's not refusing Mexicans, so I don't think Mexicans are making it down there. So that they're saying, well, we got to send them somewhere, and we don't want to keep them here. So who's willing to take them? Kind of a thing. And so they've got a monetary deal there.
That's not a good precedence.
No, and Mexico didn't. I think they wanted too much money to take him. So that was
a transactional relationship.
Exactly. Yeah, so it's the fallout of this, though, is I think this was the first real mistake. I think the on-off again tariffs was a mistake too, but the first political mistake that he's made that he has not been able to rebound from, attacking him was a mistake. I think Pam Bondi, he should not have had her do that. Bringing the El Salvadoran guy, he does not have the charisma to win over American people.
Right.
He might be able to win over with a certain charm in Latin America, but for him to say, I don't have the power to do that, and why would I bring a terrorist there? Calling somebody a terrorist, who has not had the due process to even have been accused of being a terrorist, let alone proven to be a terrorist, that doesn't win over people.
By the way, I thought I had this in the back of my brain. He showed up to meet Trump in a black t-shirt and a jacket, no tie.
Yeah.
I was waiting for J.D. Vance to jump down his throat saying, I didn't get a thank you out of you for all the money we sent you for the prisons. And what the hell, you don't wear a suit and tie when you meet the president?
And he sat in exactly the same chair. It was like the same image. I know it's
Fox News. They didn't jump down his face. And by the way, when Bill Maher had his dinner with Trump, Dana White, who's the head of the UFC Ultimate Fighting Championships, was there. Black shirt, jacket, no tie. And I was waiting for J.D. Vance to come out and say, you're with the president of the United States. You goddamn better wear a tie.
Yeah.
So. But I guess they make exceptions for their friends.
There are some left-wingers turning on Bill Maher. I haven't been keeping up on the whole Bill Maher thing, but I can't remember the name of the guy who does the YouTube things, but the title of it is New Rule, Donald Trump is My Friend, which is probably unfair. But
yeah, at least he did not take a picture with the MAGA hat. Says, nope, not wearing that. I'm drawing the line
there. Yeah, no. And it's it's not like he's going to not attack Trump ever again. He's going to attack Trump. It's just,
But I agree with Bill Maher. The important thing is when was the last time you sat down and had coffee with a Republican right winger and just tried to talk current events? I often say to him, I'm happy to sit and talk to you as long as you don't yell and scream. And by the way, I deal with facts, not Fox. So are we going to be okay?
Right. Has he recorded the interview yet?
No, they wouldn't allow him to bring a camera in on the Bill Maher's thing. He couldn't bring a camera to the White House. He gave you his synopsis of what the dinner was like.
I see.
And I got to admit, if you're going in front of the White House, would you try to be respectful to the position of president, no matter who was there? Or would you just tear into Trump saying, you piece of you know what, you're ruining the country?
No, but I want to hear what the substantive policy discussions was and whether or not he actually answered questions.
They did. You can get on YouTube and just say Bill Maher interview regarding Trump dinner. I think it's something most of America should watch, because the next guest was Steve Bannon, who's just off his... He's not all there, but once again, I think he's a character who appeals to MAGA. That's his sole goal. How crazy can I be for my crazy base? Because the 2020 election was stolen, and Bill Maher rolls his eyes and goes, oh God, we're not on that again, are we?
Did he ask Trump about that?
Trump admitted he lost the election.
Interesting. That's interesting. So unfortunately, most MAGA don't watch Bill Maher.
He'll never say it live on camera, though. But he said it to Bill Maher with no camera there.
Interesting. All right. Well, that's an interesting. Okay.
You know how much hell this country went through because the one man could not admit he lost?
Yeah. I know. I mean, I would have wanted to ask him too. I mean, were you trying to implement Eastwood's plan to install,
Eastman, not Wood.
Eastman's plan to install Clark into the DOJ, and if the attorneys hadn't all mutinied, would you have actually done that and seized all the machines? But anyway, it's
desperate people do desperate things.
Yeah, I know, but I would have been interesting if there was a conversation about that, but you can only ask about so much. Anyway, right. We were talking about Abrego Garcia. It's going to be a topic, and it seems to be something that has finally drawn blood. We'll be talking probably more about it in the future.
And all they had to do is bring him in front of a judge saying, here's the crimes he's committed in the U.S., get him out of here. And if they proven what crimes he did and the judge said, yep, you're out of here, we wouldn't be talking about this. They just skipped that one process there.
They haven't accused him of crimes because he didn't commit any. If you have any questions or comments, email us at redwoodwonk@gmail.com.
You can listen to Redwood Wonk on KZZH 96.7 FM every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m.
Shall we go on to the craziness called Congress?
Yes. What's the main one? What's the main bill?
Pick which one. There's so many crazy ones. Congress now wants to make Trump is now the leader of the judiciary process. And as the executive of the United States, if he makes an executive order, that stumps the United States Constitution, its amendments, and the rules of law.
Right. They want to empower the president to make an executive order to make it so that a district court cannot pass a law that affects the whole country.
Right.
That it only affects one district. First of all, that would lead to chaos. If you have different judgments and different orders in every district, that would be chaos. You've got to have one or the other. That's why you have appellate courts. If you've got, you know, somebody in one district that has a different one from another district, then the circuit court is supposed to take it up and immediately reconcile them, either overturn one or issue a ruling that makes it so that there is a uniform rule across the land. That's one problem with it. The other problem is they don't have the authority to do that. You've got some right-wing people in the Federalist Society saying that in the Article 1 for Congress they have the right because they have the right to create courts. So that means they have the right to limit the court's jurisdiction. It's like, no, if the Constitution said that, they would have that right, that power. They don't. They can create courts. They can create a 13th, 14th, and 15th, circuit if they want. They can add judges. They can build new courthouses. They can do all of that. But they can't. But once they appoint a judge, that judge is free and independent. And so for them to pass a law that gives the president the authority, they don't have that authority to begin with. They can't, so they don't have something that they can delegate to the president. That would be illegal. And basically what would happen is somebody would sue and the court would say, no, you can't do that. And it would start with a district court that would say, no, that order is illegal. You know, so what would we have then? I mean, we're already in a constitutional crisis over the fact that the Trump administration is about to be in contempt. I forgot to mention in the last segment that the judge who ordered that Abrego be brought back has said that he has found grounds for contempt against the president, and he's given the president a week to argue, to basically explain to him why the administration shouldn't be held in contempt. I don't know what happens when that happens, but in the meantime, that's insane. It's circular. So
these are some ever actual bills on the floor of Congress. These Republicans are bending the knee and licking the boot so badly. I don't know how they go home at night. They want to put Trump's face on the $100 bill and get rid of Franklin.
They also want to create a $250 bill to put it on.
I saw that. They want to change IAD Airport, which is currently Dulles, to the Trump Airport. The man hasn't died yet, and they still want to put up statues of him. Our own Congressman Huffman had a little thing that went viral this week. He says, "My Republican brethren, we already know where you're going with this. Let's just help you get there. Why don't we change the name of Earth to Planet Trump?" And then he kind of went on a rally from there. We'll name it the statue, not Statue of Liberty, the Statue of Trump, because that's what it really is now, because we don't want any foreigners coming into America. And it's not going to be the Grand Canyon. It's going to be Trump Canyon. We'll just change everything for you.
But they also have, there's also been a bill introduced to put him on Mount Rushmore.
I forgot that one. I mean, one of the best dead presidents we've ever had is Donald J. Trump.
Yeah. So. It is over the top insane. These things aren't going to pass. They probably won't even pass the House because there are too many members that are in close enough districts that they do not want that on their record. I mean, if somebody like, there's a few of those districts in Southern California that where they basically won by, you know, the skin of their teeth, they do not want their Democratic opponent hammering them with that, those votes.
Right.
And in the Senate, there's nothing, unless they try to sneak it into a bill that pertains to the budget, it won't get by a filibuster. And I don't think, you know, any of the moderate senators want any piece of that because they've all got to run for reelection too.
And one more thing, I don't know if you've seen the news this week, RFK Jr., head of Health and Human Services, he's now come out with a thing that if you have a dysfunctional lifestyle, if you smoke cigarettes, if you drink soda, if you eat donuts, why should the government pay for your health care? We're sitting there going, where the hell is he going with this? He's trying to use this as an excuse to cut Medicaid. Speaker Mike Johnson came out today and says, no, we're not cutting Medicaid. What we're going to do is put a work requirement there. We don't want young men sitting around playing video games all day and getting free medical care and Medicaid. We need them to be working full-time jobs. What if you're disabled?
Yeah. Or what if we're in a recession that Trump caused and work isn't available? I mean, you know, provide the job. You know, say
what if you're a federal employee, you got laid off.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be real interested, you know, why, if he would say you can't eat junk food and name the places, you know, but you can't eat at McDonald's.
He's going after corporate America. And guess who the worst abuser of junk food is in this country?
Yeah, really.
Our dear leader.
Right. Yeah. And you make it apply to Congress, too. Yeah, that the president doesn't get medical coverage if he eats junk food.
And I mean, I got to say this. The president had his physical this week, and whoever the psychopath doctor said, President Trump was in great shape at 6'3", 224 pounds.
Yes.
To which the whole world started laughing because they showed a picture of Jordan Love, the starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, who's a lean 224. Then they showed a picture of Kyle Van Noy, the linebacker with the Baltimore Ravens. He's 6'4", 255. He's bulkier, but he's still half the size of Donald Trump at 255. Donald doesn't look an ounce under 300 pounds.
There is no way health. He is 224 pounds. No way.
He's tipping the scales above 300.
Yeah. No, and he slipped since the last time around. Remember when he could say the words television, blah, 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 all that stuff? He couldn't do it this time. He couldn't even remember what the test was about when he was asked about it.
He's glitching a lot more on camera.
Yeah.
So
He's getting older. I mean, you know, and he's got a lot of stress. But, you know, so that doesn't necessarily mean he failed his psychological test, or his mental acuity test. Definitely. But, you know, honestly, I think they bring in doctors that are going to do that. Obviously, the doctors weren't candid for Biden either.
The good news is, Eric, they want to make drunk driving legal again. We need to get the number of humans out there who could get Social Security down. So let's just let them do the natural process and kill themselves out. And when he started handing out bullets and liquor, hard liquor, when people go out for the night.
There you go. Yeah, it's at any rate, I don't know. There were some other interesting things in Congress, but they don't seem to have anything to do. You know, I mean, it's they've been working on bills. There was some movement by Democrats to push anti-tariff bills through, and there are a few Republicans who were working on it, even Mitch McConnell, by the way. I mean, there are some Republicans who actually still believe in the free market. You know, it's just but obviously Johnson won't even let it go to the floor in the House. But, you know, it's like, what else are they doing? Of course, they're off. Chuck Grassley had a town hall. I encourage people to go see clips of that because they were angry with him. I mean, they thanked him for showing up. And then
yelled at him.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, they yelled at Marjorie Taylor Greene, too. Stun guns were used against a couple. But it's the same thing. Tariffs, the deportations, particularly of Mr. Garcia, and DOGE. It's the lack of accountability. And they keep saying DOGE is saving us all this money, but they're not providing the information.
They haven't. Outside, they did say there's some subscription renewals, which every form of government probably has waste in subscription renewals of software, et cetera. Great, cut those. I'll say thank you. You just saved us $12,000. I guess $6 trillion. So and I'm agreeing with you, Eric. I've yet to see a single thing. According to Fox News watchers, there's fraud, waste, and abuse everywhere. I said, okay, tell me a specific example. I have not seen one yet. Not one.
No. And if they've exposed fraud, where are the charges?
Yeah, I agree. If someone's getting if someone's 150 years old and they're getting a Social Security check, who's cashing that check? Knock on their door and throw them in jail. I'm agreeing with the Republicans here. If this is happening. But it's not happening because otherwise they would follow through on it.
Or if there were fraudulent people in USAID, you know, that were taking money and, you know, using it to go on vacation instead of, you know, sending it to third world or whatever. Why haven't any of them been charged? I mean,
it should have been referred to the DOJ. Bring Elon Musk in and say, we have congressional hearings here. We would like specific facts, not generalized things that changes every time he puts it on his website. The next day, it's gone. Elon Musk will come out a thing. There's 20 million Americans who are over 150 years old getting Social Security checks. Give me one name and address. Haven't seen one yet. Not one.
Yeah, I know. And it's pretty strange when they say, you know, they refuse a Freedom of Information Act request over and over and over again on the basis that, oh, we're not really a government entity, so it doesn't apply to us. But we're for transparency.
But I was just going to say, my favorite part is Elon says, we're 100% transparent. Ask us anything, we'll tell you. Oh, but we're not going to tell you that or that or that. Or we're not going to tell you that. Nope, no documentation there.
I mean, this is where we're at. But I mean, Congress has become completely sycophant right now. I mean, it's just absolutely they're shameless. I mean, and you watch those clips of Grassley, and he just looks broken. I mean, he does not, you know.
He's not a young man. He's older than Trump.
No, but I mean, he just looks like he doesn't even want to do his job anymore because he can't stand up. If he says anything that goes against Trump, he's probably out of there the next time. Although I don't even know why he's still in there. I mean, he's what, in mid-90s now? Why is he doing this?
I was going to say mid-80s, but... You're going to make me look it up.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there was talks he was going to retire last time, and he didn't. And I think his opponent actually did better this last time around on the age issue. So
I stand corrected. He's 91, Eric.
Yeah, all right. I mean, he's up there. in that age level. I mean, why do they do this? I don't think that we should have a maximum age, because there are people who can do the job. You know, that it's good to have elders in that one. But when you can't even deal with that situation and be able to answer the questions, and again, it's not that he's doing any worse than the younger people in there. Marjorie Taylor Greene in there was just, you know, yelling at people and
she only took questions that were written and handed to her staff in advance so they can go through and let's find out the nice softball questions here. She did not take any questions from the audience.
Yeah, and you would think that she, having the time to prepare, she would have come up with better responses, but some of them were pretty lame.
So here's my question, Eric. Our current president's 78 years old and obese. What happens if he dies in office? What happens to the MAGA movement? With no Trump.
I don't think that Vance has the charisma to hold them together. His approval ratings are like, you know, 15 points lower than Trump's. Yeah.
So what happens to the MAGA movement with no Trump?
I don't know. It's not going to, you know, everybody thought DeSantis would be president by now, right? He's facing a scandal down in Florida right now. The Republicans are turning on him.
When he came out in the white stripper boots, that was it. People just looked at him and said...
And he again just doesn't have it. I don't think they have a figure to replace Trump. I don't think they have it. It's not going to be any of the family. Don Jr. doesn't have it. He's Eric got a permanent scowl on his face.
Is Ivanka still alive? Have you seen her?
Ivanka has stayed away the whole time. I think she was always the smartest one.
She realized high society doesn't like overthrowing democracy.
It was always too much for her. Eric doesn't have a brain. There's nothing there. There's the other daughter and she's, manic. And Jared, she's, with Ivana, he's with Ivana, but I don't see anybody in the family. Vance, no, he doesn't have it. It put people to sleep during the campaign if they were lucky. If he wasn't saying something stupid, I mean, it was just that was leading to headlines. And I don't see anybody else in there. I mean, no, I don't. I think it falls apart. I mean, the reason I think that the Democrats have an excellent chance of retaking the House and even an outside chance of retaking the Senate, despite the structural disadvantages, is MAGA people don't turn out. They didn't turn out in 2018. They didn't turn out in 2022. They're there for Trump. If you have any questions or comments, email us at redwoodwonk@gmail.com.
You can listen to Rub and Wonk on KZZH 96.7 FM every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m.
Agreed.
Okay.
What's our next one?
This is where we're going to talk a little bit in the abstract, because I have this discussion all the time. I get accused of TDS, Trump Dementia Syndrome, and that I am overreacting, that Trump is not an authoritarian, that he says all these things, but he doesn't really mean it. He doesn't want to be a dictator. He's going to willingly leave power in 2028. That the 2020 stuff, the election, was all theater. That like Bill Maher says, I guess, if he admitted that he lost, and that he isn't really an authoritarian. And by the way, he believes in democracy and, you know, so forth. And that and what is authoritarianism anyway? And, there are some good definitions out there. And let me just start with one here. Authoritarianism, according to the Sociology Dictionary, is a political and social system characterized by centralized control, limited individual freedoms, and minimal accountability of leadership to the public. Authoritarian regimes often suppress dissent, restrict political pluralism, and rely on coercive institutions such as the military or police to maintain order. Sociologists study authoritarianism to analyze its impact on social structures, individual behavior, and collective resistance. The concept also extends to authoritarian tendencies in organizations, families, or cultural practices where hierarchical authority overrides democratic decision-making. Authoritarianism is contrasted with democratic systems, emphasizing its role in perpetuating inequality, curbing social mobility, and undermining civil rights. So it technically is what he is offering. Does that fit into this? It's not quite at the level of totalitarianism. I remember Jean Kirkpatrick in the 1980s referred to moderately repressive regimes, you know, and El Salvador for among them, and the like. But, you know, and people, they ask me, they would say, well, are you going to compare Trump to Hitler? And, you know, it's like, no, I don't really compare him to Hitler. There's big differences. For one thing, Hitler was disciplined, and Hitler had an ideology. Trump's ideology is Trump, and he's not disciplined. He's all over the map with his stuff. He doesn't have a focused goal, and he doesn't have support in the military for his agenda, at least not yet. I would compare him more to somebody like Juan Perón. Perón was into theater, particularly through his wife, if you've all seen the musical. But the difference is Juan Perón was a military man. Trump would never be in the military. He's not, you know, a self-sacrificing type of person. And Juan Perón was not able to appease the oligarchy. They were against him. Trump, at least this time around, seems to have appeased the highest of the oligarchy, even though he doesn't get along with much of corporate America, which seems to be bending the knee to him now, including private corporations.
There's a reason why Tim Apple of Apple Computers gave him money for his inauguration. By the way, his name's Tim Cook, but Trump always calls him Tim Apple. So Apple got this massive exemption from tariffs, and Trump came out and said, no exemptions whatsoever. Then they said, Apple Computers has got one of the largest companies in America. Tim Cook negotiated with them, gave him some money, and now all of a sudden, Apple gets the exemptions. Just caved right into the oligarchy.
Yeah. And what really disturbs me is when I see this, is those law firms wanting to keep all their contracts and get their firms. When they caved, I didn't know them at all, but I lost all respect for them. And I would never hire them. Because their caving in is setting a really bad precedent. And that is the mark of authoritarianism, when he is using the coercive apparatus of the government to fulfill his agenda. Earlier, I mentioned the FCC going after CBS. The Washington Post is being controlled by Bezos, not to be
government contracts.
Yeah.
So Bezos will bend the knee to put billions in his own pocket.
That's right. And we saw the editorials and the endorsements being suppressed. I'm not a big fan of newspaper endorsements anyway, but that's not the point. The point is they were suppressed because oligarchs wanted it that way because they backed Trump. We have a system of checks and balances that was quite brilliantly put together by the founding fathers, as we referred them to. Those are being pressed.
By our dear father. We have to call him what he is today, Eric.
Right. Yes. I mean, the point is that it doesn't matter how benevolent you are. If the system of checks and balances fail, absolute power corrupts absolutely. There have been a lot of good people who began you know, when they won a revolution and came to power violently, who intended to, but they wanted to stay in power, not to mention they didn't want to be killed if they were overthrown. So they became brutal because that is the rules, as pointed out by political philosophers all the way from Hobbes to, you know, to Nietzsche. You know, your survival mode takes over. So right now, and the checks and balances are being tested by the bills that we've talked about, and the like. And I don't know. Probably Nazi Germany won't happen, but it doesn't have to be that bad to be bad. It could be like, you know, Franco Spain is pretty bad. Was pretty bad, or you know, the El Salvador in the 1980s, or even just like Brazil in the 1960s. It doesn't, or you know, or Chile in the 1970s. It doesn't have to be bad. People tell me, well, Pinochet wasn't that bad. He only killed 5,000 people in his coup. I mean, okay, you know, so that's not as bad as Hitler and the Soviet Union.
Yeah, Stalin was probably closer to 40 million.
Exactly. So what? The minute one person dies because of the abuse of power, we don't turn around. So we aren't there yet. But
we're getting there. And the first things an authoritarian regime does is that you mentioned this, they go after the media. Because they want to be able to control the media. They do not want an open, fair media going after them. Second thing they do is they go after academia. This week, the Trump administration went after Harvard because, and I'm going to say the actual thing, they're woke. We're not sure what that means, but we're going to take away, what was the number, $2 billion in overall funding. And it's, the money went for mainly research. So I'm sorry, but people who have cancer or if you have whatever disease out there, there's going to be less research going on. We used to be the innovator of the world. That has not been trampled underfoot. That has been trampled under people's feet. There's still research in America.
That was another tactical error on the part of Trump. Because if they were going to do that, they probably shouldn't have started with a school that has a $50 billion endowment that they could fall back on. Most schools don't have that. So it's because Harvard is saying F you right now.
The other thing Trump authoritarian does is they lie, deny, and then they have their own media come forth to repeat the lies, which he's got Fox News there to amplify whatever lies he wants without ever once. But occasionally someone will push back on Fox News. They get demoted to a lower section. I'm sorry. We're putting you down to the 2 a.m. hour or the 2 p.m. hour. You're not going to go on the 6 p.m. or the 8 p.m. I've seen a few people push back on Fox and they're not like there. You can't tell the truth on Fox News.
Yeah, I know. I mean, and so this is the big difference. As I said earlier, Hitler had an ideology. Mussolini had an ideology. We tend to throw the word fascism around like, you know, it's an insult. But Mussolini's ideology was actually called fascism. They were the fascist party. It was very specific. It was actually distinct from Nazism. They weren't caught up in anti-Semitism to the degree that Nazism was. It was a different kind of a thing. They had a specific ideology, but the Trump doesn't have an ideology. The ideology is Trump. I will do this. It's me. You know, it was for Hitler, it was the master race, the fatherland, and the revival of you know, the traditions of the Roman Empire, the First Reich, Bismarck, the Second Reich, and then the Third Reich. I mean, he had a whole idea. Now, that is similar to make America great again. The difference between socialism is it's the utopia, the future that we can move towards to. The fascism is the Arcadia, the lofty, perfect past that we want to move back to that never actually existed. And so that's the similarity. but it's different. No, Trump is not Hitler, will never be Hitler. But the point is if somebody ever attains absolute power, we don't know what they're capable of. And if somebody obtains absolute power over the military industrial complex that is the United States, God knows what will happen.
Right. The other thing, too, that an authoritarian will use, he'll use whatever means necessary to go after his perceived enemies. This week, the Trump administration sent the IRS after Letitia James. She was a New York prosecutor who went after him for one of his cases. They found something they think they're going to try to say she did mortgage fraud because she's living in Virginia, but she's working in New York. This can't be her primary home. They're going to send the IRS after people. That's not good. That's what Nixon did.
Yeah, right. You know, they say that Biden did it to Matt Taibbi, but and I think that Matt Taibbi was a raw deal, but I think that was just IRS stupidity. There's a lot there, and it was just a coincidence. But
the other thing they'll do, Trump's now sent the military down the southern border, and two soldiers died in an accident down there. So I haven't heard of that on Fox News yet, because when people got killed in combat in Afghanistan, that's all they talked about every single day. Now two U.S. soldiers have been killed on the Texas border they shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Right.
That's thanks to President Trump. We're going to put those deaths right on his wall. There's two deaths right there.
Of course, my argument would always has been where, well, they could have died in a car accident if they were up in,
but Arkansas. But they weren't. They were sent there by President Trump to stop those illegal immigrants from coming in America.
Yeah, no, I absolutely. And
that's not the job of the military.
No, it's not. And there you go again. It's not the point of the military to involve itself in domestic operations.
Who is our former General Miley, our former chief of staff? Trump wanted him to use the military to quell all the civil disturbances in the post. Not Rodney King. I'm sorry. George Floyd. All the protests around the country. And he flat out said, we are not using the military inside the United States. It's not our mission.
Yeah, I mean, there are different presidents that have had authoritarian trends. You mentioned Nixon. He had his enemies list, and half of them were media people. I mean, it's always, and you're right, and whenever a figure talks about the media, not a particular people. Every president has certain media people they don't like who are being kind of hard on them for one reason or another, or who broke open a story that just, pissed them off. But the media in general, I mean, that's I forget what Hitler called it. It was very similar to fake news. I mean, that is the playbook. You got to shut that down. Going after the law firms that broke it. What makes me afraid is if this continues, what about the jurors who found them guilty?
What about the prosecutors? What about all the FBI guys who went after the J6ers? And the Justice Department, are they going to have their careers ruined?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and there's no challenge to it. Congress should be investigating this if they were doing their jobs.
I'm sorry, did you say that word Congress again, Eric?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Are you confused again? You seem to think we have a Congress here.
Right. Yeah. No, it's a committee. Right. Yeah. It's just, I forgot. And the DOJ is basically his law firm.
It's 435 dysfunctional people who occasionally get in a room and yell at each other.
Yeah,
they don't keep in mind, Congress no longer controls the purse strings right now. The president does.
That's the way it's looking. I mean,
tariffs should be under the control of Congress.
Yeah.
They control the purse. But Trump says, no, I am the executive. I control everything. And now he wants to control Congress and control the judiciary.
And that is
authoritarianism.
Dictatorship. That is, I mean, I talk about checks and balances to some people. They don't even understand the concept.
Right. I get it.
Just You know, I mean, and part of it is we've got this cultural thing about the individual standing up to the committee. And we don't ever have, you know, in our movies, it's always some maverick, you know, that that knows what's right. And there's always some bureaucratic, you know, thing stopping him from doing the right thing. You know, you don't ever have the heroes being a group of people who, you know, want to do the right thing and maintain the process. I mean, you know, it's, I mean, it's rare anyway. I do have to say there was a difference. One of the big differences between the original series Star Trek and the Next Generation was Picard was much more respectful for the prime directive of non-interference than Captain Kirk was. I mean, you know, right. It's just like Captain Kirk, it's like Mr. Spock would say, I remind you, Captain, of the prime directive. And Dr. McCoy said, well, there's just a bunch of communists here. You know, it's just anyway. We're done. This brings us to predictions. Matt, what do you have?
I got my prediction is in the presidential election of 2028. My prediction is I don't think Trump's going to make it. It's not going to be by an assassin. It's going to be by Kentucky Fried Chicken or McDonald's. He's just too old and too overweight, and I don't think he's going to make those 4 years. Plus, it's a stressful job. My prediction is Elon Musk will run for the Republicans, and Stephen A. Smith, the ESPN sportscaster, is going to run for the Democrats. Why have politicians run? I mean, we've had people come in from TV, so why not have these two guys come in?
We had that Ronald would be Reagan. An
interesting presidential race.
We had Ronald Reagan, and he wasn't even a good actor. He anyways, was an actor. we had this week, as we know, Columbia University bent the knee, but then Trump went after Harvard, as we discussed, and Harvard is not bending the knee. They are putting up a fight. I think that I'm going to predict that if other schools are brought into this, they are going to put up the resistance. Much like if you ever saw the movie The Post, they were when Nixon was going after the New York Times for publishing the Pentagon Papers, Washington Post stepped in, and then other newspapers started publishing the stuff, and it just broke the thing wide open, and they all won their court cases. I believe that the schools are going to show solidarity here. Harvard, yes, they have their $50 billion endowment, but it's still a brave thing to do. I think it's going to pay off, and Trump is going to be forced to back off. We'll see if these things come true. Until next time, stay informed and stay engaged.